From the Len de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of October, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net out of Newmarket, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist with the Farm Doc team, will join us to discuss his latest article posted to the website earlier today. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast too. That Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Oh, and the agricultural statisticians from NASS will join us to give us a harvest progress update from Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online at willag.org. You can go there right now if you'd like to purchase your tickets, by the way, for the Farm Assets Conference, or go to farmassetsconference.com. That's coming up the 21st day of November, the Monday prior to Thanksgiving.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, December corn today settled at $6.81. It was down 2.5 cents. The March at $6.87, 2¾ lower. And May futures at $6.87¾, down 3¼. November beans, $13.72 a bushel, down 13¼. The January $13.82, 10¾ lower. And March contract at $13.90, down 10 cents. The bean meal, $9.20 lower at a $401.80 settlement price, and the bean oil at $68.74, up $1.90 for the day. Wheat futures in the December contract, soft red, down 11.5 cents, settled $8.49.5, and the hard red at $9.44.5, down 7.5 cents. Live cattle futures at $149.77.5, up 57.5 cents for the day. Feeders at $179.20, $1.95 higher, and lean hogs per 100 pounds, $86.47.5, up $1.52.5 on the afternoon. Crude oil at $81.98 a barrel, down $2.55. Diesel fuel at $3.61.7, 6 9/10 of a cent lower. And the wholesale price of gasoline, down 2 8/10 of a cent today at $2.40.6 of a cent. Natural gas, 2 7/10 lower at $5.72.2 of a cent per gallon. Gold futures at $1,654.90, up $9.10, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average about 215 points higher for the day at around 30,458 for the afternoon. Wayne Nelson at AgMarket.net in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us to discuss what happened in Chicago for this Tuesday. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us today.
Great pleasure to be here, Todd.
So we have a lot of things that are in the marketplace. What was the driving force for today's trade? Anything in particular?
Well, I think it's sort of a risk-off day. As we look at all the things that are happening, you know, we had weak exports. We saw, you know, the Russian wheat crop seems to be a record. We're seeing the river not flowing. People, you know, our freight is so high to get stuff to the Gulf that we're just way out of line as far as exports and being the highest priced grocery store out there. It's just a lot of stuff like that going on. And basically along the way, we've got elevators clogged with beans. They can't take beans a lot of places. If they are, a lot of people are sitting in line for an hour or two, or they're only open 3 or 4 hours a day. So all these things don't look for a real bullish attitude for the day.
And then there was a set of numbers that came out from IHS Market, the old Informa group today, that showed a combined something like 4 more million acres total of corn and soybeans next year than this year. That's a big number, though it was about the 180 million that we kind of usually get. Still, the high prices solve high prices kind of supply, I suppose, side economics, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, that basically they're saying that there's the chance that we can plant all these acres. We won't see the prevented plant acres that maybe we did this year, and we might plant some of the marginal acres because of the price being up where it's at. You know, that we can contract, over $6 corn, and we can contract, you know, over $13 beans. So, you know, it looks like people would try to plant more acres. But, I mean, I think that, you know, we've just got a real mess right here now with a lot of things going. I forgot to mention the NOPA crush was down 3 million. We've seen bean meal that has not been a plus basis was just an even basis. It's been a plus basis for the last 6 months. So we're taking down that. DDGs being down, I'm thinking that's just a little bit different in the respect that I thought maybe some DDGs would move west to help with some of the corn shortages out west, but the DDG prices was down too. And, of course, we had bearish charts to look at too.
Well, tell me about the bearish charts. What's leading the buy?
You know, we popped under the 20-day moving average today in the corn. The 20-day moving average was 682. And here we close today at 681. So that's a close below one of the moving averages that we watch. So, you know, that basically when we pull down below those averages that way, it does turn some of the funds into a sell signal on the day.
Interesting. What do farmers think about this as we move through harvest? Are they thinking that this is just harvest pressure in general and they expect the market to come back? And should that be what they think?
Farmers are very tight holders at this point in time. Most of them are in the field today, but the few calls I did get was, "Do you think we ought to buy today?" They're not bearish this market. They are still thinking it could come back with that for everything going along the way. So, you know, there is tightness along for a lot of things, and we look ahead as to how we do. But China's being such a lack of being a purchaser. We did see some good bean purchases earlier, end of last week, and yesterday some announcements. No fresh sales today of anything today. So that's a little bit negative thing. But, you know, we can't look for much announcements when we work as high as we are at the Gulf and at the other ports.
What are your expectations for the rest of the week?
I think we'll see a little bit of a turnaround tomorrow, not necessarily higher than we were the day before, but I think we'll see a little bit of bottom picking tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net. He's from New Market, Indiana. Wayne, by the way, will join us on the 21st day of November at the I Hotel here in Urbana-Champaign, just south of the State Farm Center, the Assembly Hall, for our Farm Assets Conference. It's part of the Farm Doc team's winter meeting season. It's the way we'll kick things off, and the whole or most of the Farm Doc team will be there, along with Wayne Nelson and AgMarket.net's Matt Bennett, Ben Coons of McDonald Pells, and Brian Stark from the Andersons, many more, too. We'll talk about carbon markets. We'll talk about Ukraine and Russia and so much more, including the price of farmland. You can join us. It's easy to do. Just go to willag.org and look for the link to the Farm Assets Conference or type in farmassetsconference.com. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 94% of the crop around the nation has matured. 92% is the rolling five-year average. Usually about 40% of the crop is harvested by this week of the year. This year, 45% of the corn crop is now in the bin. Of the 18 reporting states, the condition of the crop is 42% good and 11% excellent. 96% of the soybeans have dropped their leaves. The five-year average is 94%. 63% of that crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 52%. The condition of the crop, 47% good and 10% excellent. Winter wheat is 69% sown. 68% is the rolling five-year average, and 38% of that crop has emerged. Normally, it is 44%. One additional note this week, this is about subsoil moisture condition across the 48 contiguous states in the United States, weighted based on cropland acres. About two-thirds of the acres are short or very short of moisture.
This is Melissa Bond, Statistical Assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Fieldwork included harvesting row crops, fall tillage, and applying fall fertilizer and manure. Corn in the mature stage or beyond was 96%, one day behind last year, but 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Harvest of the state's corn crop reached 38% complete, 2 days behind last year, but 6 days ahead of the average. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain was 19%. Corn condition rose to 65% good to excellent. Soybeans dropping leaves or beyond were at 96%, 5 days behind last year but 1 day ahead of the five-year average. Soybeans harvested reached 74% complete, 11 days ahead of the average. Pasture condition rated 29% good to excellent. No livestock issues were reported. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Cool weather continued across Illinois, but most areas received a nice rain in the middle of the week. The average rainfall across the state was slightly over 1/2 inch, and that was slightly above normal for this time of year. Northern parts of Illinois received generally above normal rainfall totals, but southern areas were drier than normal. Temperatures averaged 53 degrees, nearly 3 degrees below normal. There was an average of 5.1 days suitable for field work across the prairie state last week, and topsoil moisture improved slightly to 22% very short, 31% short, 44% adequate, and 3% surplus as of Sunday. 88% of corn acres have matured compared to 98% 1 year ago and 94% for the 5-year average. 47% of acres have been harvested compared to 61% 1 year ago and 55% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was nearly unchanged at 7% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 73% good to excellent. 96% of soybean acres were dropping leaves, compared to 91% last year and 93% normally. 55% of soybean acres have been harvested, compared to 50% last year and 58% normally. Soybean conditions were also nearly unchanged at 8% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 71% good to excellent. Winter wheat planting reached 39% finished compared to 47% 1 year ago and 51% normally. 8% of acres have emerged. Finally, pasture conditions improved and were rated 35% very poor to poor, 36% fair, and 29% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Doug DeCock. In for Dan Loftus, Minnesota had 6.1 days suitable for fieldwork. The state saw its first measurable snowfall of the season. In Minneapolis, the snow arrived about 3 weeks earlier than average. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 11% very short, 34% short, 53% adequate, and 2% surplus. Corn mature or beyond was at 96%. Corn harvested for grain was at 36%, 6 days behind last year, but 4 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 19%. Corn condition was 3% very poor, 7% poor, 28% fair, 48% good, and 14% excellent. Corn for silage was 98% harvested. Soybeans harvested was at 83%, 6 days behind last year, but 9 days ahead of the 5-year average. Triedral beans were 98% harvested. Potato harvest was 98% complete. Sugar beet harvest was 82% complete, 10 days ahead of the 5-year average. Sunflowers were 25% harvested. Pasture condition was rated 6% very poor, 15% poor, 30% fair, 40% good, and 9% excellent. For the USDNS Minnesota Field Office, this is Doug DeGock.
Our thanks go to the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota for their weekly updates of crop progress from their regions. Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist, now joins us to discuss his latest penning for the FarmDoc Daily website. This one has to do with anhydrous ammonium and application timing as it's related to the data that's coming in from the PCM farms across East Central Illinois. There are a number of counties and farmers, including a lot of acres. And Gary, you can tell me about those total numbers that are in a very large data scrape that comes in from those producers, trying to get an idea of what really works in the way of precision conservation management, or PCM. How many farms, how many counties are involved?
Yeah, so we have 100,000 acres in East Central Illinois, roughly enrolled in this. So there's 108,000 acres total, about 50,000 soybeans, 50,000 corn, and then 33% of those corn acres receive anhydrous ammonia applications in the fall. So we're looking at 33% of 50,000. So that's my math.
It's about 16,000, right?
All right, there you go. Good job, Todd.
So what you're really looking at is what makes money in the way of applications and how many pounds of N. And it was nice that you put it both in pounds of total N that were applied and then the application rate, which is higher because, of course, it has other carriers within the anhydrous ammonia. What did you find in the way of differences between the fall applied and then some of the spring applied applications?
Yeah, so if we're looking at those farms that apply anhydrous ammonia in fall, they apply 144 pounds of actual N in the form of anhydrous ammonia. And typically there's another 20 pounds in DAP or MAP. So as farmers are putting on a DAP or MAP, they're getting 20 pounds of nitrogen from DAP or MAP. And so we see 164 pound N average from anhydrous ammonia and other on those farms. Then if we go further into the spring, there's an average of 17 pounds of spring applied pre-plant nitrogen, and that's usually in the herbicide spray. We have one or two that put on nitrogen with the planter, 3 pounds, and then post-plant, we have 36 pounds of N on, and about a third, or excuse me, 60% of the farmers that put on anhydrous in the mall also put on post-plant nitrogen application.
Am I right that those that are making the post-plant applications, maybe even just the spring applications as well, are pushing MRTN above what the recommendations are for the state?
Yeah, so if you look at East Central Illinois, the MRTN is roughly 170 to 180 pounds, somewhere in that range typically, sometimes a little bit above it and sometimes a little bit below it. We on average see these farms put 219 pounds of N on, so we're above that. And a lot of that above actually comes from the spring pre-plant and post-plant applications. But, we don't, since everybody's above it, we don't see much of an advantage to the post-plant nitrogen application. In fact, one of the things that you do see in this data is that those farms that have nitrogen applied at the MRTN have higher profits than those that have applications above the MRTN.
And so if you go back and you look at the anhydrous ammonia applied in the fall and the total amount of anhydrous that they end up applying altogether, what do the economic numbers look like then?
So just to give you a feel, so what we find is over a six-year period, farmers that applied right at the MRTN had $336 of return per acre. When you go to that 200 to 220 pound range, which is, 20 plus pounds above that, we see that return drop from 336 to 295. And then we see a further drop as we increase the nitrogen application. So it is a significant drop.
They might get higher yields, but it just costs them more.
Yeah, there is actually a little bit higher yield, one or two bushels as you increase the MRTN from 20, by about those 20 bushels, 20 pounds of N. But you're putting on 20 pounds of additional N, which has a higher return or a higher cost than the bushels that you're getting from that.
Which is why it's called the maximum return to nitrogen, because the curve goes up and then you maximize nitrogen, and as you apply more you'll get more yield potentially, but economically you don't generate more dollars.
That's exactly right. And again, so that MRTN is based on field trial information that Emerson, Nafsinger and others have collected over the years, and so that's how those MRTNs come about. This data, which is completely separate from that, shows and supports those MRTNs.
Farmers who are interested in the nitrogen rate calculator or the MRTN can just search out N-rate calculator or N-rate calculator. It'll take you to an Iowa State website. But on that website, you'll find your county, and you can put in the current price of anhydrous, and the rates will pop back out for your area. And that's across all of the Midwest. Anything else we should know about the data you collected?
Yeah, this we looked at this particular time at fall applied, and we will look in future weeks and months at spring applied and sidegrass, just to give people better feel what's going on.
Thank you very much. Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find his latest article today on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Search out his name, or you can search for the title, which is Fall Anhydrous Ammonia Application Practices and Profitability on Fields Enrolled in Precision Conservation Management. If you look for anhydrous ammonia and precision conservation management, I'm sure that you will find it. Hey, do visit our website, willag.org, or farmassetsconference.com, either one. Pick up your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up on the 21st day of November, the Monday, the week of Thanksgiving. Let's check in on the weather forecast now with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, what's the story this week?
The story in the short term is going to be a continuation of these very chilly temperatures across the Corn Belt Midwest. Freeze warnings and advisories have made it all the way down to the Gulf Coast of Florida's Panhandle and into Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana. This cold air is going to be having some staying power. We're still looking at overnight lows down into the lower 30s and even some colder temperatures tonight and tomorrow night before we do see the temperatures easing. In fact, we are going to see temperatures reversing and starting to go warmer than average, and this will be noticeable by Friday and into the weekend, as we'll see a 180. We're going to see colder weather late this weekend and early next week hit the far western United States, while the Corn Belt in the Midwest is going to see a quick rebound in temperatures as we get into the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday time frame. And with that pattern of warmer conditions, likely dry weather for most of the Corn Belt and Midwest as well will be the case through the weekend. However, the same cold front that is going to bring a change in the weather to the west will bring back Corn Belt precipitation chances by Monday and Tuesday of next week. And by the middle to the end of next week, the temperature trends will get to go colder again across many areas of the central United States. So some ups and downs, a bit of a roller coaster ride here over the next 7 to 10 days.
Thank you much, Don. Don Day is with Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and helped us to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Do visit that website, farmassetsconference.com, or you can go to willag.org or to the Farm Doc Daily website and look under the webinars archives, and you'll find all the details of the Farm Assets Conference. It's coming up the 21st day of November.